Today's show is sponsored by Stamps.com. Get a 4-week trial, digital scale, and postage by going to Stamps.com, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in our code LAST. That's Stamps.com, and enter the promo code LAST. I don't think there's any other better bet than betting on the family as basically like getting the lion's share of your time, your energy, your resources, your vision, your right. skills, your talents, etc. If you pour that into your family, I do believe 100 years from now when you're dead, the impact you will have because of that choice is way bigger than any if you were to do that into work or if you were to do that into a hobby or if you were to do that into a business or in a company or building some type of media thing or whatever. Hey guys, welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where we talk about exactly that every single week. Real life, which means some episodes might be about a fight we just had, some episodes might be about potty training since we have two toddlers, and some might be about eschatological realism because I love thinking and talking about deep theological things. And maybe we'll talk about all three of those in one episode. But we hope the show feels like hanging out in our living room with us, drinking a cup of coffee as we discuss faith and family and culture and Jesus. Me and my lovely wife, Alyssa, are your hosts, and don't hesitate to hit us up or reach out on social media to say hi or comment on this week's episode. Enjoy. All right, guys, welcome to the podcast. Another day, another dollar. I don't, there needs to be a better phrase than that, I feel like.
I'm spending another dollar.
True, true.
I don't know if I'll be making any money.
Guys, at this point, if you're listening to our podcast, that means the pumpkin spice latte has now probably been out for weeks.
Has it been for weeks?
Yeah, and you've been loving it.
Yes.
Because we talked about it a couple podcasts ago, and I just thought of it right there.
Well, it's been my pregnancy craving. I made myself some pumpkin bread, having it with my pumpkin spice latte.
That pumpkin
latte,
bread was good. That pumpkin bread was
really
good.
Says a lot because Jeff used to hate pumpkin, but I think his taste buds have changed.
Well, here's the thing, guys.
He also used to hate coconut and he can do it now.
Well, yeah, but the bread one is, I don't like moist bread.
Which I love.
Like if your bread literally tastes like it has not even been cooked yet.
No, that's not the definition of moist, which I know some of you are cringing because you hate that word.
No, I have words I don't like, but moist I'm fine with.
Me too. Sorry, people.
You know which one I like but don't like? Fajitas, because you can pronounce it fajitas.
Well, there's a whole story behind that.
Yes, but continue. We'll get into the words we don't like, but before that, what were we saying before that?
Pumpkin spice.
No, but then after that?
Pumpkin.
Oh, yeah. So pumpkin bread. Guys, it's too like just mushy, doughy, dense. It's like, has this been cooked yet?
And Jeff then they go,
it's been in the oven for an hour.
The banana breads, but you like the Joanna Gaines banana bread
because
a lot.
Hers tastes like an actual bread. It does not
taste like a cake.
It does not taste like a ball of wet dough,
which is my favorite. But this
and
is
then
coming
so
from
heavy. Then you lift up a loaf of pumpkin bread and you're like, this weighs 7 pounds. This is a baby
in my tummy.
Yes, no wonder. It's because it's just water, water and water, then, and a little bit of dough.
What was I gonna say? Something about
Joanna Gaines banana bread, pumpkin bread.
Guys, pregnancy brain is no joke. Well, oh, this is coming from the man who likes the corners on brownies.
Yes.
You don't like the
crunchy
middle.
Crunchy McCruncher.
And see, it's not worth it for me to eat a side piece. Yeah. Like, just save the calories.
Yeah.
Give me the gooeyest middle piece with the melted chocolate.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So, banana bread is one of my favorites.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
I mean, not banana bread. Pumpkin.
Pumpkin bread. Mm. I like, I'm not.
But you liked my pumpkin bread.
That's true.
All that to say, he liked it.
That's true. Guys, I got a fun conversation for today. I don't even know if I've brought it up to Alyssa. Oh, you're going to say something?
No, I'm wondering what it is.
I want to talk about stay-at-home momhood. I want to talk about motherhood. I want to talk about stay-at-home dadhood. I want to talk about...
I was not prepared.
I know. And here's what got me on this kick. I have lots of thoughts. I'm not going to share all my thoughts because some of them are far too radical and weird. But I'm going to share some
Can
of my
I
thoughts.
Can I please make a t-shirt that says that?
What?
I think Jeff is the most opinionated person I know.
But I don't share my opinion that often.
He does it only if you are his closest, like, three people in his life. He will tell you his opinion.
And if you think I'm opinionated on the internet, then...
He holds back a lot.
Yeah, we could definitely not be friends. No, I feel like I'm really sensitive, or I try to be really sensitive, to the impact of an opinion. And I think everyone needs to...
Or I feel like you're sensitive to what other people's opinions are. So you're not just going to blatantly necessarily say your opinion.
Yeah. But I also have thought through a lot of things and researched a lot of things and read a lot of things. And a lot of it, some of the stuff I believe is wrong. Like I'm sure I can't be 100% right on everything, but I got thoughts. and I don't usually share my thoughts. And I'm, like I said, I'm not going to share many thoughts here. We're going to go surface level, but I do want to talk about it. And here's why. A question I saw on the internet, or that I've been seeing a lot in as a trend. And what's funny is I'll combat this where people will be like, oh yeah, I totally agree. But then also I have a different version of it that most people don't ask. So the question I hear a lot in kind of the women's movement, back up. The question I hear a lot of moms getting asked right now is, oh, how do you balance it all? Like, how do you be a mom and maybe you work a little on the side? Maybe you don't work, but just how do you balance it all?
Or you do work.
Yeah. And usually it is being asked to like a working mom. Usually, not always. I think it should be asked to all moms, but usually it's being asked to a working mom, part-time, full-time, whatever. How do you balance it all? Right? How do you do motherhood and the clothes and the laundry and the lunches and you work and your marriage and how do you do all that? If those are the things that are true of you. And a lot of times in this new women empowerment, like mom hustle, mom boss movement, I think a lot of times people instantly push back on that for right reason in some sense and say, well, like, oh, well, why don't we ever ask the dads that question, right? Like, why don't we ever ask the dads, how do they balance it all?
Wait, you mean you're asking that?
No, I've heard people say that.
Oh, okay.
I've heard people say like, They kind of say, why don't we ask the dads that question?
Right.
And that's fair. I think that's fair. Like, what, like, like, that is interesting. Like, why do we never go to a dad and say, how do you do it? How do you balance it all? You know, Jeff or John, you know, or Alex, like, how do you balance it all? You got two kids, you know, how do you take care of them? How do you like make their lunches? How do you go to work? So it's kind of hilarious that we don't ever ask that question to men. But the thing that where I'm different at is I actually think, like, why don't we actually legitimately ask that question to men? Like, a lot of times the women say that question is like a deflector. Like, oh, we should be asking, like, why aren't you asking the dad that? Don't you dare ask me that. Like, you know, like, I can balance it all just like the dads can balance it all. There's usually that tone. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
There's usually that tone of, like, most people I hear that push back on that is kind of like that it's sexist or chauvinistic to be like, how come you only ask the women how they can balance it all? Like, of course they can. When I go, and I've never heard someone say this, I go, that's a great question. Like, I want to know a mom's answer. How do you balance it all? How do you actually prioritize your time? But I also want to ask the male gender of that same, like, I want to ask the dad the same question. So a lot of times people use it to deflect. And I'm saying, like, I actually do want to ask the dads. And it's really interesting that we don't, like, most people say that as if, like, let's take that question off the table because it's a wrong question. I say it's a right question. We should just be asking both parents.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting question for dads. Like, how do you actually balance it all? And if that question makes you feel like it has, like, I know for me, when I ask myself that, and if I start having like a short circuiting of the brain, meaning like, what? Like, that's, what do you mean? Like, I just do, or something like that. It makes me then kind of realize, like, am I actually balancing it all? And that's just like, what's the word? Like a euphemism for like, because this is what it comes down to is definitions. I think some people, when they say they're balancing it all, they mean they're doing a bunch of things in a semi bad way. They're just kind of doing them all, like mediocre, like everything's kind of mediocrely taken care of.
Yeah.
And so I don't agree with that definition. But if the definition is how do you balance it all, meaning like how do you make sure everything stays healthy and flourishing? How do you work well? How do you do work that is meaningful? How do you have a family that's meaningful and flourishing and healthy? Then I think we should be asking ourselves that question. And because it exposes ourselves, if you say, oh no, I'm actually not balancing at all, like work is completely crushing my family life, you know, or something of the sorts, then that kind of should help you back up a little bit and be like, oh, this is an interesting question to ask.
Yeah.
You got no thoughts yet?
So I feel like you kind of dropped a bomb. I'm like trying to reel in my thoughts. Okay, I struggle to talk about this topic because I feel like there's so much behind it.
Totally.
It's almost like
angles.
The hurricane. Like, there's a lot of...
I don't know about that, but okay. Continue.
There's just a lot of... I mean, you can... What am I trying to say? People have a lot of opinions about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, like, defense and hurt and...
Totally.
Wrong definitions.
Yeah.
And... I think a lot of it is our culture has defined, doesn't know what a family is, has defined it wrong, has given dads a bad rap. Like Jeff and I were talking about, there's not a whole lot of good TV shows that, I think this is why everyone loved Parenthood so much. there's not a whole lot of good TV shows where they even honor dads. Like, he's kind of the doofus. Like, you know, hey, is it like way. Really, I know, is really like out of touch of how his family is doing. And so this is a big topic to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why people aren't even asking that question of men, it's because in our culture, it's like a, it's like this role thing.
Totally.
That is assumed that the men are the main, and this is in general, so correct me if I'm wrong. In general, men are seen as the providers, so they go out, they work, and they come home. And a lot of the times, you know, a big thing in Christian culture, it's like a lot of women ask me, how do you encourage your man to lead? Because a lot of the men aren't leading, or women don't know, they have a wrong expectation of how men lead, or all these things. And so I feel like it's a really big topic to really like dig through and get through. And everyone has different opinions, different ways they grew up, different. And I think a lot of times, even if we are super biblical and grounded, things in our culture have slid in that we don't even realize, oh, like that's not of the Lord, or that's the culture telling me something that isn't correct, or I believe this and it's showing in my marriage, but it's not really, there's no like grounding to it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally. And I think,
to wrap it up, to come full circle, I think sometimes people don't ask the dads, how do you balance it all? Because it's not assumed that they would need to balance it all.
Yeah.
Because it's assumed that women are kind of the heart of the home, and they have like the pulse of how the kids are doing. They're the ones that mainly get groceries and cook meals and do laundry. And then a lot of times now there's pressure for the women to go to work and to work or have a side business or to pursue their passions or their calling. And so how do you, you know, balance all that? Where the men, it's like, that is such a good question. And it really is convicting to me that you're even asking that, because a lot of times I don't even think like, oh, how does a man balance it all? Because I just assume he just knows his role. He's set in his lane and he just goes for it, you know?
Well, and it's funny because like I said, like I want to ask the same question that sometimes the more women empowerment feminist lanes want to ask. And I actually, like, I have, you know me, I probably have more feminist tendencies than you. And
it's true.
And more like women equality and et cetera. But I want to ask it in a different way. They want to ask to deflect. And I actually want to say, like, no, we should actually be asking that question.
Well, I think you want to raise men up.
Yeah.
And like, let's lead our family. Let's let's actually know the hearts of our kids and know the hearts of our wife and take care of them on an emotional sense, not just on a provisional sense.
Totally.
And let's, there's a lot going on there.
And guys, let's just be honest, like I'm the question everything guy. Like I just don't do anything just because I'm plugged into the matrix and should be doing that thing. And so at some level, we have to question assumptions that our culture, like what a lot of people don't realize in culture is that you can make your own decisions for your own autonomy and your own freedom. But at the end of the day, there's also a myriad of decisions that someone made 200 years ago or a society made 200 years ago that you're just living in the fruit of.
Yeah.
And that's one of the huge assumptions I like to question is like, we are living in an industrial economy. And you've heard me talk about this a lot. And I want to question the assumption of, is that the most,
can you explain that for listeners?
So yeah, so there's industrial economy and there's agrarian economy, right? Or societies. And the quickest, easiest, cheapest way to describe that is like, when you think of the industrial revolution, you think of factories, you think of assembly lines, you think of the conveyor belt. Like the industrial revolution changed, I mean,
families,
everything, families, work, education, et cetera. Like it was the first time in history where all of a sudden there was this new arrangement where someone got paid to do work they did not like or want to do that did not take that much skill. It was the invention of cheap labor and cheap skill at the expense, or not the expense, at the profit of someone really high up a chain. That and it was the first time in history where people in mass left their family for 10 hours a day to go do something. Now I'm not saying that's inherently wrong.
No.
But what I am saying is, have we ever even questioned if that's inherently right? Oh, boom, I like that. I'm gonna tweet that. But that's the question. Like,
it just drastically changed everything.
And we just assume that's how it's been forever, kind of. I mean, we know it hasn't been, but we just kind of do it as if it's been done forever.
Well, I don't think we think about history.
Totally.
So we just live in what we've grown up in and what is expected of us and what is taught.
Here's a crazy story. Hopefully I'm getting my numbers right. Google it if you want to. And I'll Google it after this. But I know I'll be within a couple. I know I'll be in the realm because I do remember the stat fairly well. It was, so Henry Ford was one of the earlier, the Industrial Revolution was, you know, we can talk seven, there's a couple different ones, but essentially the beginning of the 1900s was when it really reached its boom because of the automobile industry and because of Henry Ford. Henry Ford was one of the first ones to see the vision for cheap labor, cheap skill, assembly line model where one person did one thing 8,000 times in one day rather than a craftsman, a tradesman, or because you didn't have to train someone to do that, right? And so he knew, I don't have to train this guy for 7 years to work on a car. I just have to train him to turn a nut and a bolt 8,000 times in one day and pay him cheaply. Now, that grossly, but jobs were super highly available and it grossly changed work to the point that like this was, I think what people don't realize is this was not readily accepted in the beginning, this model. So when he first started going to the assembly line model and he needed a ton, like thousands of workers because the Model T was booming off the assembly line, I think the number was he had to hire, for every 1,000 people that he wanted to hire or hired, I think it was something like 890 or 950 or something left. So basically to get 50 trained workers, to get 100 workers that actually like worked at his factory and stayed, he had to hire 1,000 people every time because there was that much loss of retention because it was such a, it was so unfulfilling.
Right.
So unfulfilling. It was so different than how they had ever worked. It was just so disruptive to their family, to their life, et cetera. Now, again, I'm not saying like we are living, this is the air we breathe, this is the water we swim in. So I'm not saying that like something is inherently wrong. What I am saying is, are we okay waking up from the matrix? And are we okay maybe actually asking, is this a simulation of sorts? And do we want it? That's a question that I've asked because I think a lot of people say, oh yeah, Jeff, that's good for you. Like, you know, you work from home, you can kind of do this cool trendy thing or whatever. But it's like, no, this has been intentional. And I did have a 9-to-5 at one point in time. I did leave. You left your 9-to-5. And it's not something that just like you leave it and you're successful. Like it takes creativity. It takes hard work. And some people, they won't leave their 9-to-5 even after they really agree with this and sit in line with this. It's like they feel called to that. And I'm not saying it's not that easy. It's not right. Just like, this is the right answer. This is the wrong answer. Like, no. Oh, work from home. Mm-hmm. No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Right.
What I am saying is, are you on a path of integration? Because the Industrial Revolution disintegrated everything, meaning it split up everything. It fractured everything. And it was kind of this model of like, split up every little part in the puzzle for mass efficiency and mass profit. When I kind of want to return to slowness, I kind of want to return to messiness. I kind of want to return to, like wastefulness in the true sense of the word of like where everything doesn't have to just be optimized and perfect and efficient for the goodness of our family. So where was I going with all that? I think we have to realize that, yeah, there's those two different models. And so there's assumptions we make or there's assumptions we just believe or that we do without even thinking about it because we don't realize we're in this model. And that model has not been forever, right? And that's why the Industrial Revolution just ravished any agrarian job. That's why tradesmen's, craftsmen's are seen as lower on the rung, even though it takes a ton of skill and a ton of effort and a ton of training. Whether that's a woods worker, whether that's a plumber, whether that's whatever, like things, people that actually learn trades over a long period of time and then apply those trades, those are actually deeply, deeply necessary and mental and cerebral. What's really interesting is I read a book recently that actually said the Industrial Revolution is actually getting rid of the higher end jobs quicker than it is the perceived lower end jobs. And what it means, you know, is saying like there's doctors that's work is getting outsourced to China, like a radiologist, their job is to read x-rays. So people are outsourcing that to China because it's, again, because the model we live in says that's the value system. I want cheaper while still getting the result I want. So outsource radiology, right? But you can't outsource like a plumber or you can't, you know, outsource an electrician because they have to actually be at your home. So that's a whole nother talk. But that was really interesting about how we think that the Industrial Revolution is actually getting rid of the jobs we see as more middle class when sometimes it's actually even getting rid of the higher ones. But that's a tangent. Anyways, you got thoughts real quick? Go ahead.
I think you lost me a little bit. But I'm sure it's all really good. I really need to sit in this a little bit. Okay, but let's go back to the mom and dad thing.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, guys. Sorry if I lost you. Just rewind five minutes ago, and then we'll go back for it. Okay. If you can't tell, I got some thoughts. So I think what we should be talking about is both spouses.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, are in a marriage, if you're married, are both spouses genuinely asking that question? Because if you're not constantly looking at your priorities and how you're actually doing, like if you actually measured the health of your life and have both husband and wife done that. And here's another way to put it. You mentioned the phrase, like people believe the woman's the heart of the home and all that stuff. So I strongly disagree with that. I don't believe that. I think the family's the heart of the home. Hey guys, I want to take a break this week to tell you about one of this week's sponsors, and that is stamps.com. You know, we love them. I talk about them a lot on previous episodes because these days you can practically get everything on demand. Just like our podcast, you can listen to it whenever and wherever you want. But did you know that postage is the exact same with stamps.com? You can have access to all of the services of the post office right from your desk. You can buy and print real U.S. postage for any letter, any package. You just click print, mail, and you are done. And they will even send you a digital scale. We love them. You've heard us talk about them years before they even wanted to sponsor this podcast. I think 5-6 years ago, me and Alyssa were shipping our books and we would do autograph copies and all that stuff from our living room. And we actually used stamps.com to create all that postage. And it was super streamlined, super easy. And it made it really, really efficient and easy for us to do as small business owners, entrepreneurs, whatever you want to call it. So we want to hook you guys up. Use the code LASS for this special offer. You'll get a 4-week trial that includes postage and a digital scale. So go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in LASS. Again, that's stamps.com. Enter LASS. Because I think we have this caricature of like this wife from Pleasantville who puts on an apron and says, honey, I'm home. And, you know, I just don't believe that's the model. Like, I just don't believe that. I think the dad and the father has just as much responsibility over the home,
right,
as the woman. But we've done, again, this industrial—
But that's never talked about. Totally. That's what I'm saying.
Because we've done this industrial model again where it's divide and conquer.
Right.
And the dividing and conquering is like, I'll go over here and do this while you go over here and do this. And that is fine. If that's the agreement the spouses have made, that is totally fine. Find meaning in your work. Do your thing. I'm just saying, like—
But I think even if your careers and jobs look a certain way, no matter what they look like, I think we're talking about like—
There still should be some ownership over the home from the husband.
Yeah, the husband should still like lead his home.
Here's another way to put it. Because I want to be careful, I want to be sensitive. Here's another way to put it. No matter how you work, no matter what you work, a husband's providing, you know, doing his job, and that is honorable. It's respectful. That's what God's called us to do as men. But here's another way to put it. If you're a man listening to this, or if you're a wife, maybe ask your husband this question. Do you believe that the home is actually your domain? Like there's a level in the man's brain. Yes. There's a level in the man's brain where we like to reign and rule over things, right? Like I think we were created to lead, created to reign and rule.
And build something.
No, there's women like that, of course, too. But we're talking stereotypically, generally speaking, statistically speaking, that men in general like to build something and reign and rule over something. Now we mostly do that in our work. We mostly do that in like, okay, I'm going to go build a team at work. I'm going to go build a project at work. I'm going to go lead a team at work. I'm going to go climb the charts there.
Coach a sports team
or even hobbies. It sometimes tends to be that I want to reign and rule over the forest in my backyard with hunting or whatever it is. But reigning and ruling is in our blood. It's in our DNA. Do you actually believe that the home is your kind of kingdom, your domain, the place you're called to reign and rule? Because when you actually make that mental shift, the home comes alive, because then the dad actually starts then applying his skills, his talents, his vision, his resources to the home rather than outsourcing them. Because sometimes dads can believe the lie, my job as a dad is to go get this little piece of paper that has precedence on it outside the home and then come and give that back to the home and give that back to the mom. She'll do what she needs to do with it, but I don't do much else. And then I'll outsource all the work. Again, the Industrial Revolution's model is outsourcing everything. Right. So even dads do that. I will outsource the spiritual direction of our kids to the youth pastor. I'll outsource the physical care.
Education.
I'll outsource the physical care and upbringing of our kids to the mom, the diaper changing, the feeding. I'll outsource the education of our kids to public schools or teachers, et cetera. That's fine. But again, do you realize that's actually what you're doing? Mm-hmm. Do you realize that is, because I do think dads need to realize that, again, this is the home is their domain. And what they're created to reign and rule and to build something. And there's no better thing than the family. Like the thing sitting right in front of you, dads, is the thing that you were created to build.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And to build a legacy and to invest in it and to know the heart of your kids and to train them up and to have a really great relationship with them and to know the heart of your wife, to understand her, to pray for her. Like those are things to live in.
Totally. And here and that reminds me, guys, here's an encouragement I'll give you too. I feel like everyone's making bets. At some level, everyone is betting on a lifestyle that they think will have a certain payoff for them down the road. Now, in my opinion, guys, I want to challenge you and encourage you and families listening. I don't think there's any other better bet than betting on the family as basically like getting the lion's share of your time, your energy, your resources, your vision, your right. skills, your talents, etc. If you pour that into your family, I do believe 100 years from now when you're dead, the impact you will have because of that choice is way bigger than any than in if you were to do that into work or if you were to do that into a hobby or if you were to do that into a business or in a company or building some type of media thing or whatever. Now, all those things are great. Here's how we see it, guys. And again, this is hard for us because I have some seriously unique and radical thoughts on this. And when not many other people do, then you definitely feel like you're swimming upstream. Like you feel like you're just like, man, I'm going a direction that like no one else is going. I'm almost speaking a foreign language at some level. And so, and obviously even through our mentors and other people, it's not like we thought of this, but there is a small remnant of people that I think are starting to like rethink family, reimagine family.
Right.
And what was I going to say? Oh yeah. I think, if you actually ask yourself, man, are you willing to make that bet for your family? Because I think it'll have a greater impact. And for us, that's the bet we're willing to make. We're willing to make the bet that family wins over everything because that's God's like when God wanted to change the world, he didn't start a business, right? Every single time he wanted to try to bring his blessing into the world, he did it through a family, which is really interesting, right? Genesis, you guys are now one flesh, be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so for the very first plan was a family. Okay, they screw it up. They totally or suck at it and mess up, et cetera. Sin comes into the world, curses, breaks, et cetera. So then he says, okay, Noah, everyone's evil. Everyone's terrible. Like everyone's just going to hell in a handbasket. So I'm going to bring my blessing back into the world. And how am I going to do it?
Multiply.
Through you being fruitful and multiply. If you look, it's the same phrase that was in Genesis and Noah. Boom, same thing. Noah does that, then the world's still going to hell in a handbasket. Says, okay, I'm going to try this one more time. I'm going to try to perpetuate my blessing and goodness into the world. How does he do it?
Abraham,
right? Through you and your family, the nations will be blessed. I will create a new nation and I will bring all my blessing through the family line. So it's like family is actually God's vehicle for bringing blessing into the world. Why do we not believe that, right? We usually believe it's if we can just be a better individual self, if we can just chase our dreams and chase our passions, then maybe God will, you know, bless the world. Now, if you're listening single, that's a whole different conversation. Right. So I'm not saying that like you can't live a full and flourishing life. I think there's two callings in the scripture. It's family life and single life. Both of those equally needed. They actually work as a team in scripture. One's kind of the infantry and army, and one's kind of the outpost and the place that, you know, people rest and get renewed and recharged. So single people and family people need each other. But I was more talking specifically in the, if you are a family already, do you actually believe that God has given you everything you need, i.e. a spouse and kids, or, you know, a single mom or a broke or a blended family, whatever it is, that you still have God's blueprint for bringing blessing into the world. And you don't necessarily have to go build a business or chase a dream or do those things. And you can, but what if the business and what if the dream are the family? That's what I was going to say, is I think like we love business. Like we love creating businesses. We want to create assets. We want to do all these things in our family. But to us, it's under the umbrella of family. So like, right. We're not like some people, a lot of people interpret their life as like slices of pie. We got the family slice. We got the business slice. We got the kids slice. We got the hobby slice. And then all of a sudden you start feeling this tension of who wins, how kind of the question we started with, how are you going to balance it all? I just don't even see it like that. I see it as like a pyramid or a house or an umbrella, however you want to call it, that family is the foundation. And that as a family, me, you, and the kids are going to do a business.
Right.
As a family, me, you, and the kids are going to go on mission. As a family, me, you, and the kids are going to have hobbies.
Or pursue our callings.
Or pursue our callings as teammates on this calling. And God has given us individual teammates with individual callings to support this mission that he's put us on as a family. So.
Yeah. So a few things to add to that. So I think with family, God knows exactly what you need and who you need in your family. And so if you have one child, if you have two, if you have twins, if you have five kids, whatever it is, like, God knew that you needed each one of those kids to be in your family and to do what God has called you to do. And I think we've talked about this before, but I think when you're single, you have a calling. And then when you're married, you have a calling. Yes, and then when you have a family, you have a calling. And so each new season, whether you're expecting a newborn or another child or getting married or single, it's like, hey, God, what is my calling in this season of my life? And where are you calling? And knowing that it's, so when you have a family, it's not like the husband saying, what's my calling? And then I'm going to go do that. And the kids and my wife are just going to do whatever, or they do their own callings. It's like, no, you have one calling and maybe it needs to change. And, or maybe it needs to like just switch a little bit or nudge a little bit, or maybe it stays the same, but it's like inviting the whole group into the calling.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of creativity. And I think sometimes maybe that's why we don't talk about it as much, because it's not so black and white. Yeah. It's not like I can just tell you, okay, now you have this many people in your family, so this is what God calls you to do. Yeah. It's like really spending time with the Lord, being with the Holy Spirit, spending time in God's word and seeking what is best for your family and having wisdom in the season and with the kids he's given you and the weaknesses and the strengths that are in your team. And I think just another note too, I think a lot of the times it's just portrayed that, I think the reason why we think that women have, you know, should be the ones to know the heart of the family, I think is because we're naturally more nurturing.
Totally. I agree with that.
Or like, you know, emotional, sensitive. This is like a, typically, not always. But I think we do a disservice then with that of like cutting the men and the husbands out and thinking that they're not any of those things. When really, I mean, obviously God created a family and he knows that both man and woman are needed in the group. And, you know, we need to know the father's heart. Children need to know the father's heart as much as the mother's heart. And they complement each other. And so really knowing the strengths of both of you. And, you know, for men, I think sometimes it's really hard, not all men at all, but some men have been taught growing up that like, you can't be emotional, you can't cry. So they don't know how to be in touch with their emotions. And so sometimes I think that's hard for them then to lead their family and to know the heart of their kids. And so I think if that's the case, then like to seek healing in that and to really like ask the Lord to help you understand your emotions, to get in touch with your emotions. And I'm not saying like super feely, like feely, you know, whatever, but just to be able to talk about, hey, I feel like this, or I'm going through this, and this is what is true, and this isn't. And I think, you know, men, because they're not typically as emotional or whatever, sometimes it's the wife, both are needed in the family, and the kids need both. And so I just wanted to talk, like, as we're talking about these things, like, why does our culture believe these things? Why are these said?
Yeah.
And I think for the men, I know you've talked about this, babe, but we sometimes men, you know, they go to the sports or they go to the hobbies or they go to the work to build something because honestly, a lot of the times family is harder. You don't see the fruit of a family for years sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's not like when you go to work, you can get all the emails done and check that off your list. Or, and sometimes I think for women, this is maybe what we're craving. Like we want to see immediate fruit. So we're like, oh, I'll go outside and I'll work or I'll do something. And I say all this blanketed and like there's, you know, it's good to work and all these things. Totally. But sometimes we're drawn to that. We're drawn to build a business. We're drawn to, you know, spend more time at work than at home or make something of ourselves online or whatever because we see the fruit so easily and tangible. Where at the home, it's like we're dealing with hearts. We're discipling. We're like dealing with kids' hearts and sin issues and marital issues and like, you know, and that's a lot harder. And it takes a lot of like faithfulness and perseverance and like constant just being available and having conversations and being the one at home when your kids get home so that they have someone to talk to. And maybe there's not like a monumental moment, but it's like years down the road, that was like pivotal for that child, or that protected the child from doing things that they shouldn't do after school or whatever. So I think just understanding that too brings so much encouragement of like, if you are a man, like, why don't I want to invest in my family as much as I like to invest in other things? And not to say that once you invest in your family, then you have to give up everything, but it's like, how can I be creative?
Yeah.
How can I, what is God calling me to in this season? How can I include my family in it? And where are areas that I need to invest and grow in? Where are areas that I need to let go and give up and things that the culture is telling me to do that isn't of the Lord? Yeah. And I think if we really dive into that, if we really surrender to that, it's freeing. Because I think in our culture, we put so much pressure on ourselves to be this something or to be success or to make so much money in a year or have a 401k or whatever that is. And I'm not saying those things are bad, but it's not. It's good to set goals and all that, but just like when we really die, I think sometimes we get scared. One, I think we get prideful and we just want to do what we want to do, or we think that we have, or there's expectations on us from father-in-laws or fathers or whatever. But also like, you know, we really surrender to the Lord. I think sometimes we get afraid because we maybe we think deep down that he's going to ask to do something that we don't want to do.
Totally.
Or that it's going to be a lot harder. Yeah. When really the Lord is like, when we actually surrender to him, it's so good, and it's for our joy and it's for our peace and it's for the flourishing of our lives and for our family. And maybe it's not the easy thing to do, but there's so much fruit at the end of it that it's so worth it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I love that. I think that's super, super good. So guys, we'll let this be, let you chew on it. Hopefully
marinate on it like the cold brew.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Which I think we mentioned in
weeks past.
But no, guys, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this, because as you can tell, this is something that's always on the forefront of our mind, but doesn't always seem to be on the forefront of other people's minds. And we're always trying to think different.
Or just there's not a space necessarily to talk about it.
Totally, totally. And we're trying to swim upstream on this issue. And so doing that, doing it sensitively, and but also doing what we believe, you know, scriptures lay out, not as an exact blueprint, but as a way for more flourishing and joy than our current culture tends to believe. So let us know on Instagram or Twitter or DM or whatever what you thought, and we'll keep talking about this on the podcast. All right, love you guys.